you today. Praise the Lord. He's worthy of our praise today. If you're here today, it's all right to get. I forgot an announcement, but next Sunday morning, we recognizing Mother's Day and Father's Day. So we're going to do both the same day. We wasn't together on Mother's Day, but we'll celebrate and recognize them both at the end of the service next week. I want to go ahead and tell you that when we were here recording, Angie claimed the oldest mother, because she said, I'll never get it, but I'll get it this year. So we are thankful for each and every one that's here today. And next Sunday, the offering will be going to the Helping Hands Fund, the entire offering next week. All right, let's pray and we'll get started. I think we got some singing, and then if I don't forget it this week, just wave me down if I get carried away. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness, for your blessings. Father, it's so good to be together and feel your spirit and to know why we believe what we believe, because you remind us. And Lord, that I'm thankful for the blessed hope that we have. And Lord, did I pray for this service today, I ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would touch the old preacher boy. Lord, you'd give me the words. I wouldn't say too much, but I'd say enough. And Father, I pray for your touch, everyone that hears. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today and encourage us and challenge us and lift us up and get us equipped for the battle. Lord, help us to realize today that we are in the middle of a spiritual battle. And it's a war that we're in every day. And Father, we pray that you would help us to be equipped and able to overcome the enemy. And Father, I love you and praise you today. Thank you for each one that's here, each one that's listening and watching on their devices. And Lord, we pray for our nation. Pray, God, for your touch and your guidance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pray for us. We hadn't sang in a while. My mama and daddy talked about going home since I was just a babe on their knees. They said that nothing compared to what was waiting up there, how one day we would finally be free. Well, I've never seen it, but I keep on believing it'll be a place like I've never known. I keep my eyes on the sky, my soul wants to fly. Lord, my heart is ready to go. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's real. I want to know how it feels. Sometimes I get busy from this life that I live. It seems that peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load, but all that I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Well, I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. More than I've ever seen, my eyes long to see the look of love on my Savior's face. I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river.
Praise the Lord. Do you want to know how heaven feels this morning? Are you excited about going there? Man, praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart? Amen. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me to. I turn to Isaiah chapter 14. And also to Ephesians chapter 6. I've been preaching through the promises that on Wednesday evenings, and we're in the S's now. We talked about salvation Wednesday evening. But the Lord stirred my heart, and I hadn't preached any of the promises through this series until on Sunday morning, until this morning, and the Lord stirred me and wanted the next one coming up was salvation, but is Satan. And the Lord just stirred me and took me back to when I preached a series on the spiritual warfare and the deceptions of Satan. And so he stirred me, and I'm going to share a message with you this morning by the help of the Lord. The real enemy. We have an enemy. And I want to tell you, and I'm sure I'll tell you this several times, we have an enemy, and it's not people. It's not people. Well, a lot of times we'll focus and we'll throw our blame and hatred and bad things toward other people. Your enemy's not people this morning, I want you to know. That's the Lord spoke to me as I prepared for this more than anything else. We get too concerned and too carried away blaming people. We've got an enemy, and his name's Satan. And I don't want to be like the old preacher that they said that got carried away and got mad at the devil and cussed him out this morning. It's going to be hard for me not to. I don't like him. But they said the deacon got up in and said, well, he told the truth. But you got an enemy this morning. And if we would spend our time in prayer and engaging him in spiritual warfare as much as we do plotting and talking about the ones that we feel are enemies. That's a big good place for amen right there. We could accomplish a whole lot more in our spiritual lives and in the world today. Amen. I wonder, and I joke about this a lot, I have got a lot on my mind that I'm wanting to say this morning, so pray for me that I'll say exactly what needs to be said and I can get on and go on. But if you would stand with me, Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?
How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, see, spiritual battles require spiritual strength. Spiritual battles require spiritual strength. If we fight in the flesh, we'll get run over like a Big Mac truck. It requires spiritual strength when we are engaged in spiritual battles. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, but put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take ye the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and I want to read just a little bit in verse 14, stand therefore. When we've done everything we can do to stand, then stand. And trust the Lord in the power of His might. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your goodness. Now, Lord, I ask you for your touch from up on high. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for your direction. God, I pray that you'd move. I pray you'd get the devil out of here. I ask you in the name of Jesus that you'd send him wherever you see fit, and you'd get him out of this service. Lord, that you would protect us. You'd build a hedge of protection around us. Lord, that we ask you for guidance. We ask you for help. We ask you for deliverance if anything we need delivered from today. Lord, be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may sit. You know, we have a real enemy, and I want to hit here. First of all, there is an invisible world that is just as real as the visible world. I'm afraid so often we get that off of our minds. We know to know that as Christians, but I don't think we think about it enough, and things come about. And in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verses 15 through 17, this was the man of God, and the enemy had him surrounded. He had a servant with him, and the servant come to him and said, "Elias, what are we going to do?" He said, we're surrounded and we're in big trouble. What are in the world are we going to do? And the man of God said, "There's a lot more for us than they are against us." I bet you that at that time that servant thought, you know, you're a man of God and you're a prophet and you know a lot of things, but you're no good at math. There was two of them, there's a whole host surrounding them. And he said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the mountains was full of chariots of God. It was a lot more for them than it was against them. See, there is an invisible world, and we are engaged in this world. In the second thing, we are involved in an invisible war. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got any strongholds in your life today? You got something that the devil has used against you that you have allowed him to move into your heart and allowed him to take apart, and he has built a stronghold and you can't get over it. You can't break through it, and it just keeps, every time you think you're getting a little closer, wham, you get hit and knocked back. I'm telling you right here today, for our weapons are not carnal but are mighty through God. If we will trust him more and we'll be on our face with him more, we can overcome some of the things that we struggle with. Amen. I'm afraid that we've got this wrong in our lives, and we think the Christian life is what we're doing this morning. Amen. We think that a Christian is getting gussied up and going to church. If that's all we got, we're in trouble. Amen. We're in a whole heap of trouble if all we think about religion is going to church and being involved in the things of church, because it's a relationship Monday morning. It's a relationship Tuesday morning. It's a relationship Tuesday night. It's in complete communion with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When's the last time that you considered that a struggle or a relational conflict could be in a satanic opposition? We don't think about it. Well, I just figure that's such and such. I just figure we are in spiritual. Now, everything, now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying look behind every bush for a demon, but we are in spiritual warfare with the enemy, and he takes no enemies, takes no prisoners. The third thing is, our foe is formidable. His goal is to destroy us. His goal is to destroy your life, your children, your family. Cause every bit of conflict that he can cause and snatch and take them to hell. That is his goal. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundant, but the enemy has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And sometimes that in our lives, not everything is a spiritual satanic attack, but I'm telling you, they happen. You know, the Bible speaks of Satan as being the prince of demons. He's a created angel, created perfect, and he fell because of sin, the sin of pride. You know, snakes, of course, I've never been close enough to really see by myself. It's just what I've read. You know, me and snakes don't care much for each other. But they say they never blink. They don't have eyelids. They have something on the inside of their retina that they can close their eyes, I guess, when they sleep. But they never blink. Snakes are constantly looking. Their eyes are always looking. You know, that helps you to understand 1 Peter 5:8 that tells us that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly and always watching. And let me tell you, if you go and some of us has played sports, when you play sports, you try to, a lot of times, study the other team and know what they're going to do. When football games, big games, basketball games, they want to learn the other team, who's the best shooter. You better have two on that guy. And this guy over here can't hit the broadside of a barn, but he's a good rebounder. So don't worry as much about him on offense, but then when you get on defense, you better block him out. You got to have a strategy and a plan. Let me tell you, Satan has studied you, and he knows you, and he knows where you fail. He knows your shortcomings. He knows what you're prone to stumble at. And he'll study it, and let me tell you, at the most opportune time, wham! Now, I want to go on to say, and I don't want to give the devil any praise this morning. This is not what this is about. And at the end of the message, I'm going to share something with you that'll encourage us. But I'm not giving him any praise. I'm not lifting him up. I just want the Lord just took us and stirred and said, let everybody know exactly who he is. See, we've got in our minds the devil is a man in a little red suit with little horns and a pitchfork and a little tail hanging out. A cute little fella. Amen? That is what we have been drove into our minds, and that is what in our mind, that little cute man with the pitchfork. We've seen the inscriptions, little devil on one side and angel on the other, in cartoons and different things. And that's a way, but he is sly. He's a serpent. He's a rascal. If it's good, he has nothing to do with it. I better hurry. We are in an invisible world, invisible war. Our foe is formidable. And now I want us to look that we must respect our foe, but not fear him. We've got to respect him, but not fear him. See, the Bible tells us, and we can know a lot about the devil by his names, by the names that he is called. And one of the his name reveals his tactics and some of the things and the way that he comes at us. Satan, the means adversary or enemy. He is against you. I heard Preacher Cutshaw used to talk about a little woman, and she'd say, good Lord and good devil. And they said, why in the world would you say both? And she said, well, I really don't know whose hands I'm going to fall into, so I won't be on good side with both of them. I'm afraid there's a lot of people that wouldn't say that it's that way today. We have not determined that Satan is out to destroy us, and he is our arch enemy. He is an adversary, our enemy. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, the Bible says, wherefore we would come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. The apostle Paul was hindered and couldn't go where he wanted to go because he was hindered by an adversary. He was hindered by the enemy. And in our lives, that if you don't think that he won't hinder you from doing God's will and doing what God wants you to do, you're a sadly mistaken person this morning. He will. Why is it when you get down to pray and you say, I'm going to pray yes to, and then every phone, I say, yeah, used to be one phone, now there's many phones. But every phone in the house will go to ringing. Somebody will message you. Somebody will knock on the door. I remember a guy that was grew up with, and he had got saved, and wow, what a Christian boy. And I remember you'd see him in a meeting. He went to a different church. He had the best smile. He was just so full of the love of Jesus Christ. He got messed up and got in a backslidden condition. I met him on my way home one day. When I got home, the Lord just stirred me. I went in my study. I got on my face before God. I got to praying. I got to pleading the blood. I got to praying for him. I got to praying for him. I got scared. I was in the house by myself. I heard sound like stuff a moving, sound like people walking through the house. I heard stuff all over the house trying to discourage me and get me to quit praying and pleading the blood and going right to the throne of God for a friend of mine. See, it's real, folks. And I don't know why God stirred my heart this way today, but we are in a real battle for our souls and the souls of our families. We're in a real battle for our nation. Our pledge and our money says that we trust God and that we're one nation under God. If we lack our freedoms and we lack what America stands for, we better be on our faces before God and engaging the devil in spiritual warfare. Do you love America this morning? Are we praying for it? Are we on our face before God? We ought to share some tears. We ought to miss some meals. We ought to be praying this too. See, he, according to Job chapter 1, he fights against God and his believers. He said, when the sons of God come before God, and he said, what are you doing, so to speak? And he said, I've been going up and down, going back and forth. He's going, seeking whom he may devour. Revelation 2, verse 24. The Bible said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. See, the people that don't realize and accept Satan as a existence and a forcible foe don't know the depths of Satan. We have not gotten in of how powerful. So I'm afraid that a lot of us are like the ostrich. We stick our head in the sand and think everything's going to go away and everything's going to be all right. When the children of Israel left out of Egypt, there was probably 1.5-2 million people started out on their journey to the promised land. A big crowd. A lot was born in 40 years too. You know how many of those as adults that left Egypt made it into the promised land? Two people. The rest fell in the wilderness. Straight is a gate, and few there be that enter thereat. For broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and be many that go that way. Another name is the devil. This means slanders and lies. One of his schemes is to say false things and get people to say false things against each other, to ruin the reputations. He loves to stir up false witnesses. We've seen that in the Bible. And juicy gossip. Preacher, it's not gossip, it's prayer request. I just had to share it on my Facebook. But when we slander and when we talk about someone else and we say things that's untrue, or even if they are true, if we're going to talk about people, let's talk about them to God. Let's talk about them on our knees and not talk about them to the neighbors. Not talk about them to somebody on the telephone. That is one of the tricks of Satan. He slanders. He's into lies. He's into disruption. He's into tearing up relationships. He's into destroying families. Have you ever been around somebody that just loves to stir up something? Everything be going good, then a certain person roll in, and man, it's an uproar. Amen. You're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's from Satan. That's his evil force. That person that we say is a bad person, it's not them, it's the devil. Again, I'm not trying to exalt him this morning. Another name is Lucifer, son of the morning, a shining one. And Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" He's not going to come ugly and scary. Let me ask you something. When you were dating your mate, or some of you's not married, and if you was going to pick up your girlfriend or one you was a dating, would you wear your work clothes? Would you go out and mow and work all day and come in sweaty and just go on? No, you're going to put perfume on, you're going to take a bath, you're going to put your best clothes on. I remember my neighbor said, I could tell when Tim had a date with Rhonda, he spent all day shining on that old truck. I wanted to look the best. He's not going to come and let you know who he is. He's going to come as the angel of light. He's going to come in all his splendor and woo you right in to sin. Amen? Another name is Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. In Matthew 12:24, the Bible said, "But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils.'" You know that this Beelzebub is the Lord of the flies, and they thought that he would, this God would keep the swarms of flies off of them and protect them from it. But the Jews understood it to mean the God of filth. This is who he is, the God of filth. Every perversion, every immorality, everything in our minds that we think and that we do and are enticed in, these come right from the pits of hell through the person Satan, Beelzebub, the God of filth. When we turn our televisions on and our computers and we allow that filth to get piped into our house, we are allowing the devil to get piped into our house. When we bring certain books and pornography and the things that's unclean and things that ought not be, and we allow it into our house, we are allowing the deceptions and the lies and Satan himself to come and open the door and bring him into your house. I might say, "Preacher, wow, where's all this come from?" See, God is wanting us to realize and know we are in a battle. And the filth that is going on and is comes through Hollywood, and no matter where it comes and we allow it to come, we'll go to the movies and pay good money to watch a bunch of garbage and nonsense. We'll buy the albums and the records and the CDs and all of that stuff of a bunch of filth that ain't fit to be put in our minds. He is the God of filth, vulgar and obscenities, language, and our thoughts. 90% of your spiritual warfare will go on between your ears. And most of the time, how we win this battle is how we'll win the other battle. Amen. For out of the heart, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What we dwell on will come out. Belial, the name of false god. Any way that Satan can divert your worship to him is what. What did he ask Jesus to do? One of his temptations said, "Just bow down and worship me." I'll make it a lot easier on you, Jesus. You won't have to go by the way of the cross. You see all these kingdoms? I'll give them to you. You just worship me. What is it that says in the book of Isaiah? He said, I'll exalt my throne above God. I'll set above him, and I'll be like the Most High. He desires your worship. Now, if I took a poll, I don't think every one of us in here would say, let's go worship the devil. But we have got false gods in our lives when we worship people. When we worship people. When we worship rock stars. When we worship country stars, all of them. When we worship athletes. When we worship our children. You might say, now preacher, you're getting carried away. But we put our children above God. We have made an idol out of our children. When we put our spouse above God, we have then made our spouse an idol. And I'm going to hit you with the big one. When we put ourselves above God, I think the biggest God and false God and idol in America today is the God of self. We exalt, we'll spend more money on us than we will anything else. Amen? I go Christmas shopping for Rhonda and buy me twice what I buy her. I get her two hoes and a shovel and I just get me a rake. But when we put ourselves above God, we have then made ourselves an idol. He's the evil one. Corruption, influence, anything that's corrupt that he can. That's why we still have human trafficking. That's why we still have school shootings. That's why there's terrorism. There's evil in the world and it comes from the evil one. And today, the enemy is not people. Have I said that? Our enemy is not people. What's going on around the world today is not the people. They have bought into the lie of Satan. They have been deceived. And he is behind all of the conflict and all the trouble. He's a liar and the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. He's a dirty, filthy, rotten rascal. And is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever one of these days. Praise the Lord. He's the tempter. He tempts us to sin, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means that the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He tries to get us to meet legitimate needs in sinful ways, not waiting on the Lord. Like he did Eve, he got her, talked her into not waiting on the Lord to fulfill desires and legitimate needs the wrong way. He tried Satan's temptations the exact same way to get them to fulfill the lust in the wrong, the desired needful things in the wrong way. He will tell us today, don't wait till you get married. That's a lie. That's nonsense. That's back in the 40s. This is 2020. Don't do that anymore. It's a legitimate need. It's a legitimate thing of a person. But God says, wait till you get married. The devil said, it don't matter if it's two men and a woman. This is 2020. The God said, it does matter. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. He is the prince of this world and he has false systems. See, he tells young girls they have to look and dress a certain way or they won't be accepted. Amen? He tells boys, if you're not buff and really look good, you're not going to be accepted. So then a lot of them gets on steroids and destroys their lives. He says, you're one Budweiser and a convertible away from having the most beautiful girl in town. Amen? He has infiltrated our governments. And he is out to destroy us. The last one, he is the accuser of the brethren. In Revelation 12:10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. He is our accuser. I have one more. I'll hurry and let you go. But not only is he a formidable foe, he's a defeated foe. I've been wanting to preach this point, Harold. I've said all that to say this. He's a formidable foe. If you don't watch him, he'll slip you up and take you down and take you to hell. He's going to take your family to hell. Anybody he can get. But he's been defeated. In the South Pacific, I was going to use this right at the very last, so I guess I'm about done. At the South Pacific in World War II, after the war was already won, and the battle, it had been declared that the battle was over, but there was a lot of guerrilla warfare still going on that they hadn't got the word. They were in the jungles and all around, and there were still pockets of guerrilla warfare going on. There was still real bullets being fired. There was still people dying. There was still people being injured. There was still some warfare going on, but the battle was over. When Jesus Christ came out of that tomb victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that first Easter morning, the battle was won. It was over with. It's settled. It's no other way around it. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. The battle is the Lord's, and he's already won the battle. Glory, hallelujah. We ought to get excited today. Yeah, we've got a bad enemy. Yeah, he's a rascal, but he's on his way to hell, and I'm on my way to heaven, and he can't do a thing about it. Glory, hallelujah. I've won the battle. I'm victorious. My name's written down in the Lamb's book of life, and I don't have to fear what that Satan can take me to hell with. Because I passed from death unto life. Are you saved this morning? You'll have guerrilla warfare. You'll have pockets. But you've won the battle. We're victorious. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad for that? Let me give you a couple of verses about victory. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are you saved this morning? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells within inside of you. And that force is greater than every demon in hell put together. We possess all the power of God is within us. You want me to give you something to encourage you? Let's start living like it. How many of us comes beat up? Man, the devil's beat me up this week. I just feel so bad. You know what a testimony I like to hear? The devil tried, but I blacked his eye. And then I spun around and kicked him right in the teeth, and he left. Glory, hallelujah. We're victories. We're victorious. We've already won. We don't have to fight for winning, Brother Richard. We've already won the battle. When I ask Jesus into my heart and ask Him to be the Lord of my life, He said, I'll take you to the end. Glory, hallelujah. Another verse, James 4, 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Boy, the devil's beat me and beaten Ben on my back. We ain't told him to get out of town. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that not in the canon? Is that not in the Bible? That means if I say, Satan, get behind me in the name of Jesus, and I got faith and I believe and I trust God to do it, he has to go. Some of us need to have an exorcist at our house. Amen. We need to run the devil out. And in Revelation 12, 11, I want you to get this. Revelation 12, 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Let me tell you something this morning. I'm going to share this with you. Won't cost you a dime. You're an overcomer. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you have overcome. And you're winning. And you're going to win. Glory, hallelujah. But if you hadn't asked Jesus into your heart, you're on the losing side. You can't claim the victory. You can't claim of being an overcomer because we have bought in to the lies of the real enemy. We've won the battle. There's still guerrilla warfare going on, but the battle is over. Let's live like that we believe what the Bible says. I want to encourage you this week. When it just seems like everything's going wrong, and not every problem we have is from the devil, but don't let him hang out. Get rid of him. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get behind me, Satan. In Jesus' name, he has to go. Amen. Aren't you glad? That ought to get us shouting right there. That ought to get Free Will Baptist shouting right there. Father, we come to you again today, and we're thankful, Lord, to be able to call upon you. I'm thankful, Lord, for your goodness. And God, that I'm thankful for your word that tells us who our enemy is. Now, Lord, help us to focus on fighting against that enemy and not people. Help us to focus on our blame and our accusations and our wrath towards Satan instead of toward our neighbors, instead of toward the people down the road, instead of toward the people on the other side of the aisle at church. God, help us to focus on who the enemy is, and it's not us. It's not others, Lord. And I pray that you'd be with us, and I pray that you'd give us what we need today, and that you give us victory over the enemy. Me. Lord, help us to maintain the victory. And Father, that I pray today that if there be one in here in this house that don't know you, that's never asked you into their heart, Lord, I pray that something had been said that they'd call upon you, ask you to forgive them and come into their heart. Lord, I pray, but maybe some Christians been Christian a while and been beat up and has allowed the devil, and the devil has defeated. We've been living a defeated lifestyle, not having the victory, not having the joy that it comes with serving you. Lord, I pray that as David said in Psalm 51, restore unto us the joy of thy salvation. Lord, help us today to nail it down, and God, that we could enjoy our Christian life. Lord, we love you today and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.